Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. They're very simple, John. I don't know why I have to explain them every week. They're so simple. Every episode, we can read out as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where the transcript for the idea will be printed and formed into parasols as we enter the warmest period in human history, which is coming up, apparently. Look forward to that.
This summer.
Sound of the Summer is the Dream Factory podcast in parasol form. I'm Joel, a man who puts the lech in dolce de leche, and across from me is John Harris. And John, I had some free time this afternoon, and I had a look through everyone that you follow on Twitter, every single person. There's no quick way to look at this.
Oh, God.
And interesting ones that came up were dictionary.com.
Yeah.
The Iceman Wim Hof.
Yeah.
You know Wim Hof, who can hang around in ice or heat. So he won't mind about the fact we're about to enter the hottest period in human history. Billy Piper.
Yeah. I don't...
Billy Piper on Twitter. You follow at Locate East Sussex, which is a now defunct organisation helping companies move to East Sussex.
What?
And I thought most interestingly, the Formula One driver, Jenson Button.
I stick by every single one of those follows.
Which companies have Locate East Sussex helpfully... help to relocate to East Sussex?
I have no idea that I'm following Locate East Sussex. I think that's one where it was like...
You follow a lot of people.
Super fun memes, and then they just changed.
As of today, you follow 1,854 people on Twitter, which is too many.
Do you think?
And I imagine your timeline is hell. Especially the amount Locate East Sussex must be tweeting.
Yeah. It's mostly just people getting cancelled, so it's quite nice to just push them through the kind of churn them through my list.
But John, we're not alone today.
We're not.
We are joined by somebody that we both follow on Twitter, and that's his biggest honour. joining us today is the host of the award-winning Stop and Search podcast, but more importantly, I think possibly the number one Dream Factory fan. It's Jason Reed. Hello, Jason.
Yeah, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I am genuinely the number one fan of this podcast.
Competition winner, Jason Reed.
He bid 10 grand at a charity auction to come and do this podcast.
Well, I've got a badge.
If you think you could challenge Jason to the number one fan spot, or maybe, you know... Fight in a car park or something. Well, we're happy to get that sorted.
We'll go to one of Pip's cockfights that you was talking about.
This is important stuff, Jason. We'll bring this up later. But firstly, before we started, you brought us an ungodly amount of wafer rolls.
Yeah, so many wafer rolls. That if you were stranded on a desert island with this many wafer rolls, you could probably construct a pretty good raft to get yourself to safety.
This is like the next episode of Shipwrecked. Is this just like Polish wafer tubes?
And we've probably been organising this for about 5 months, and
so these wafer rolls probably well past their sell by date.
Yeah, totally. And I wanted to do the Christmas special, but like hardcore listening got in. Sounds a little bit like, well, it's Christmas.
Well, they literally fought you for it, and there's two of them. So
yeah, exactly. Right, yeah,
they got the up on me.
On that, shall we pitch some bloody films?
Yeah.
This one's from friend of the show, but not number one fan, as he's been ousted as number one
fan
as of right
now.
He's
an acquaintance of the show.
Stu, this one is Batman and Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin is Winnie the Pooh's owner.
Oh, owner's
friend,
not a very
friend,
nice thing to say.
Friend. Yeah, are they friends?
Well, are they friends? Come on. What do you think they are?
Have you seen the film Finding Christopher Robin, is it? The new one out?
Ewan McGregor one?
No, that's the other one.
You're talking about the one with Domhnall Gleeson and Margot Robbie?
That one I thought was really good.
Yeah.
The other one...
Is that the one with where Winnie the Pooh's kind of like been CGI'd to look weird?
Yeah.
He talks like Danny DeVito. Right. Christopher Robin, he's grown out of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
He's become mates with Batman. You know, don't say, oh, you would.
What, if Batman was let's
Batman
be friends?
Said, look, I want to be your mate, but I can be your only mate.
You've got
to ditch Winnie.
Is Batman running exclusivity deals and friendships?
Yeah, absolutely, because you can't, like... Right, you can't have, like, a WhatsApp group with Batman in and your other mates. He's going to be like, it's me or nobody, right? Surely.
Do you think? He doesn't strike me as being particularly sociable. I can't imagine him at parties.
Yeah, he's a one-friend kind of guy, I think.
Although Bruce Wayne does seem relatively sociable. Right. Is it Batman? Or is it Bruce Wayne I'm making friends with?
What I'm saying is, Batman's best mate, you're going to learn a lot about Batman. He can't risk other people finding out about that. So Robin probably knows a lot about Batman, right?
Yeah.
So Robin doesn't have any other powers because he can't go home and be like, oh, you never guess what Batman told me today. So Batman needs exclusivity on a best friend.
Okay, fine.
And so Christopher Robin ditches Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And Winnie the Pooh becomes like the next supervillain.
Oh, here we go. Now we're talking.
So it teams up with maybe the Riddler, maybe Joker.
Tigger.
The Tiggler.
Riddler the Pooh.
The Tiggler.
It's the Tiggler, Riddler the Pooh, and some sort of Eeyore one. I don't know. Who are the other baddies? Penguin.
Bane, Penguin, Catwoman.
Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
Poison Eeyore?
Poison Eeyore, I'll take it.
Poison Eeyore. Yeah. I mean, Christopher Robin already has the general kind of blonde, childish, like, physicality that is required for Robin. I don't think Batman's having to get the outfits resized.
Exactly. Perfect.
If anything, when in the hiring process for his new Robin, it was mostly based on suit dimensions.
Why is there so much sexual tension between the Joker and Batman?
What, you think it's sexual?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm not sure. Jason?
I wasn't picking up on it, but I think we need to kind of dissect Joel now.
I think we need to dissect Joel watching all Batman films.
I think
films.
It's the lipstick.
You think?
Yeah, the Batman wears.
Nah, I'm not having it. All right, what about this one from... Normally the way that I do it is like I get a first name of someone. That's how we kind of address contributors. This person's Twitter name is Dorman. Le Dorman. Is that a
French
thing?
Bouncer.
Oh, he's Le Dorman. The mask-free mascarpone.
Great. Okay, so the mask. You've seen the mask, I assume.
Absolutely.
Have you seen The Mask 2?
The Son of Mask.
We've seen it. One of the worst films ever made.
It is terrible.
It's really, really bad. What happens in the... So the mask, great. Jim Carrey gets a mask. Somehow he hasn't got a mask at the end of that film. Don't remember.
Probably throws it back in the sea or something, right?
Well...
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so it comes from... Yeah, so that would make sense because in Son of the Mask, it washes up in a river, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then a baby puts it on.
I think an adult puts it on and then the baby gets it. Anyway,
and the baby gets hold of it. So
he gets impregnated by the mask. He has a baby that is a mask. I think that's what happens.
Oh, yeah. You're right. So he has sex with a horse. No. It ends up on a petting zoo somehow.
Yeah.
It's some sort of fancy dress petting zoo where you can dress up as a different character and sit on a horse and get your photo taken.
And then he wears it.
Yeah. And the horse wears it.
Somebody stop me.
No.
So when he was going down like mascarpone, I was thinking in terms of like MasterChef and like the mask was on
MasterChef
creating like a best cheesecake ever, but doing it in a really kind of rampant way where Greg Wallace is just staring at him.
No, I'm thinking Greg Wallace in the mask.
If you say MasterChef and the mask, Greg Wallace is definitely
I mean, there's probably a good argument to suggest he's already wearing that mask quite a lot of the time. Okay.
Have you seen all Greg Wallace's pictures of his like working out? He's like really, he's like proud of his physique. And
he's doing what now?
He's getting swole, Jason.
What is it with the sexual tension between you and Greg Wallace?
He's from around our way, isn't he?
I think, oh my God.
I think he's a Kent lad.
Is he really?
I think so.
He's got that vibe about him.
I know the Harry Biker's around our way.
Are they?
Yeah.
No, they're northerners, aren't they?
No, they're from, I was on a train with like the other, I don't know, Dave.
Dave and Si.
Dave, I was on a train with Dave.
Jason's saying that they currently live there, but I like the idea that I'm going to put out the headline that Jason alleges that they are fake northerners.
Yeah, it's all put on, for sure. It's just camera.
Greg Wallace is from Kent. It's weird that I've not seen that shouted about more.
I'm sure he is.
I've done the open top bus tour of Rochester, and they didn't mention it once.
I've just fact checked like your entire back catalogue, and I should have done that one, shouldn't I? Like where is
from what I've read, no one actually knows where Greg Wallace appeared from, but he appeared at the age of 40,
fully formed. That's because he's the mask.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. He appeared fully formed in the form that he currently is. And what's most interesting is he hasn't aged since he appeared.
Ah.
I think he'll exist forever.
And he's getting swole. He's getting swoller by the day.
I think we've got to keep our eyes on Greg Wallace.
And that's another reason why he's a superhero, because, like, you know, the fact that he's growing exponentially.
Yeah.
It's all to do with this mascarpone.
I think.
Super mascarpone. You know, like, what is it, Popeye ate spinach?
Yeah.
Like, the mascarpone gives you the superpowers.
Is it? And that's what, because he's quite pale, and so... Oh, no, but actually, Popeye doesn't turn green when he eats spinach. He's not the Hulk.
No, you're thinking of Baron von Greenback from Danger Mill.
How did you know? That's exactly what I was thinking of, Jason. For the record, Jason just said he came in and fact-checked everything. I'm going to put that at the end of the episode. So if you want to know what a man walking into a studio and telling you everything you've said wrong in the last couple of episodes sounds like, then listen to after
listen
the
to
little
the end.
Bit.
I'm sound like a right twat,
annoying.
No. That's what they listen for. how about this idea? So this one's from Aaron. He did the thing where he sends in a news story.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you like the best three paragraphs from this news story, but I'll deliver them pretty quick. A driver who swerved to avoid an octopus before crashing has been arrested on suspicion of drug driving. Officers who tweeted about the incident said they found no evidence of an octopus on the road. Octopuses are not unheard of in the seas off the south coast of England, but this particular cephalopod...
Nice.
Thank you very much. ...would have had to crawl more than 5 kilometres over hills and fields to find itself in the path of a car on the A381.
Jason?
Well...
As our expert?
Yeah, I was going to say, where the hell do I go with this?
So a guy in Devon was pulled over and he said that the reason he swerved was there was a big octopus in the road. Now,
does it have to be a big octopus? Because
what's your beef with large octopus?
Well, aren't squid like bigger? Because like an octopus in the road, surely
you wouldn't know what it was, would you?
No, you'd just see that as a splat, like a you think it was
maybe?
A bag or something.
You'd
like
think
that.
It was a football in a wet plastic bag.
I don't think this holds up.
I heard it was hitchhiking, and it was holding up 7 signs.
Wow,
with a different word on each one. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with different directions on each one, which would be a confusing message.
Yeah, and then you probably would swerve, wouldn't you? You're like, where am I going? And so what I'm thinking is that the man wasn't actually under the influence of drugs, but this is really a story about a very adventurous octopus.
No, yeah, I like it. It's just a coincidence he was high, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There was really an octopus there.
What, the octopus is high?
Well,
maybe.
Hey, we don't know that, Jason. They never tested the octopus, did they? They never
found the octopus.
Because there's a lot of sort of tentacles to inject, or don't octopuses have beaks as well? So he's not going to be able to sort of toke either. So
they do have a beak. You're right.
So how is he getting high? There's a question for Susie Gage. How do octopuses get high?
Yeah, do animals get high? They do, don't they? Bees go mad for a fermented apple.
Yeah.
If we ever manage to get Dr. Susie Gage on this podcast, first question.
Yeah.
How do octopi get high?
Yeah.
I apologise for saying octopuses as well.
That's all right.
Because it should be octopi.
It's octopi, yeah.
Damn, let's see, fact check.
is it an animated octopus in a real world? Or is it real octopus that's like
it's
photo
a real? Real?
It's photo
a real octopus, real. But it's got one of those comedy human mouths.
Oh, I don't like that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
How about this one from Barney? Me, myself, and iRobot.
Oh, so Me, Myself, and Irene is like a very insensitive comedy about mental health issues.
Jim Carrey split personality comedy.
So, right.
Jim Carrey's brain is put into an army of robots.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, that's just what Barney's got written down.
What about if the first
AI... Will Smith fights a robot, Jim Carrey.
If the first AI is designed and they accidentally overdo it and they import like three different
of Jim
operating
Carrey's
systems
three of
into
Jim Carrey's characters
this
into one
robot. And so it does have...
Three different Jim
it
Carrey
has
characters.
An AI robot version of the insensitive thing that happens in that film. Is that,
me,
is
myself,
that okay,
and
Jason?
AI Irene.
Am I in an okay territory here?
Why am I like the moral compass now?
Yeah,
it's like, Jason, help
John's
me out.
Normally the moral compass.
Yeah.
So he feels a little bit... This is what that was John being let off the leash.
Yeah.
that'd be me, myself, and AI Irene. Yeah.
So iRobot is like a film that I remember when I was younger thinking was like super clever.
I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever
seen.
Yeah,
and in hindsight, it's probably fine, right? I think it's because like at the age that it came out and the age we would have been like, oh, a Will Smith film. Great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big explodey film. And then it was quite like a cerebral film. And it was probably the first cerebral film we would have seen. And so it would have blown our minds, just the idea that this film has like rules about what robots can and can't do and stuff. But how...
Will Smith's shower scene.
And he puts on some Converse, doesn't he? It's one of the first like really obvious product placements is when he puts on the Converse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently.
Were they futuristic Converse?
No, just normal ones, mate.
That's interesting.
We still haven't got those Back to the Future boots, have we, that just lace themselves
They
out.
Made a few of them.
Oh, did they?
Seth Rogen had a pair on, didn't he?
Oh.
At some awards do, and he said that he was followed around by a security person from Nike that had to like immediately take them back off him.
Jason, I'm not proud of this, but seeing as I'm off the leash, I'll tell you this. A few years back at New Year's Eve, I got so drunk that when I got back to the place I was staying at, I couldn't remember how to take my shoes off, and so I cut myself out of my shoes.
Do you ever have it though when like you're dying for the toilet and that's the time where your shoes decide to knot? Yeah, when you just do like the magic lace that should just come apart. Because that's the laws of the bow.
Yeah.
That they just fall apart.
Yeah.
But no, on this occasion when you need the toilet.
Mm. Yeah. I don't normally, if I'm in a rush for the toilet, I don't normally have to take my shoes off. Some sort of interesting setup you've got there.
I've just
trousers.
Jason has to fully undress.
I've just given away so much.
Yeah. Oh, you ever really, really need the loo and you can't get your hat off.
How was the urinal not infiltrated into the domestic home?
Like, are you mad?
I want a urinal in my home.
No, what? I want the opposite, Jason.
In the bathroom.
I want urinals taken out. I want urinals taken out of public spaces.
Really?
I'm the opposite.
Do especially, you? What a weird campaign.
I know
especially
mean,
the
though.
Big trough ones.
Oh yeah.
And then there'll be like seven men stood like shoulder to shoulder.
But that's because I never have a wee standing up when I'm at home, so I see it as a real treat.
Unless you sit down in the trough.
I sit in the speaking of sitting, I once saw a man do that.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Number two.
Do a big number two at the Berlin Oktoberfest, which is, in my opinion, the original Oktoberfest.
I am cringing inside.
No, Munich, not Berlin. Take that back. I've never seen a man poo in public in Berlin. I take that back. I don't want the people of Berlin to think that.
Have you seen
I saw it happen. I saw a man do a poo.
I saw a man do a poo in Florence on the street one evening. I was like, why is that man squat? Oh, okay.
When I was in New York, I saw a man poo in the subway just recently.
How many
exactly as you imagine if you see all the glamorous films.
How many public places have you seen people shit in?
Come on, you're from Kent.
Well, it's not quite that, but I did stand over someone as I was urinating into a bucket in Morrison's on Saturday night.
Did they know you were there?
That actually happened.
Or did you walk up behind them?
They unfortunately, he was passed out in the aisle. There was a whole medical incident. This is again got quite serious. And he woke
probably
up. He needed the toilet, bless him.
Yeah. And you had your bucket with you.
Yeah. So we had to get the manager to get a bucket, and I had to stand around to guard him. So yeah, Kent. you think it's classy? It's so not.
I once blacked out in a supermarket aisle. I think about this every now and again. It might have affected me quite a bit. No, I was with my uncle, who is a bit of a maverick character, and I think, I'm not really sure how or why this happened, but one of us volleyed a carton of orange juice, and then I slipped on the carton of orange juice and smacked my head on the floor, and then I have no memory. There was like a few, maybe like a 10 to 15 minute period where I blacked out.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
You've played Juice Ball, right?
Juice Ball.
In the supermarkets.
It's pretty fun.
You have to concentrate.
Yeah, that was the last time I played. I was just about to go pro as well. The doctor said you'll never play Juice Ball again.
And now it's a film with Ben Stiller.
This one's from Adam. Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, this has gone to my area, hasn't it?
Yeah,
has gone drugs.
Your area?
Yeah, yes.
I'm pretty naive on poppers as a drug.
It's, yeah.
Your Honour?
It's synonymous with certain demographics, and it helps loosen things up.
Mm.
I probably shouldn't raise serious points on this one, but there was an MP that actually raised the question in the House of Commons and admitted to using poppers, which is the first time someone's actually kind of outed themselves as a popper user in the House of Commons. So there's a little bit of fact.
Are they legal?
Yeah, they are. But they were, about a year ago, they tried to ban them and make them illegal, but it didn't go through because it would have persecuted LGBT too much.
One time at secondary school, someone told me to smell their pocket, and it turned out there were some poppers in there.
That's a great chat line, isn't it? Smell my pocket.
And I did it because I was a teenager.
You're curious as a teenager.
Wanted to see what pockets smelled like.
My girlfriend always talks about a time that a child approached me in North Greenwich and gave me a anonymous sweet, and I just ate it.
Is weird, Joel. That is mad.
Never. Right. I think we need some education on this of just say no to any random pocket sweets. Never do that.
To be honest, I thought it was probably some sort of sting operation.
What about this one? Die Hard, The Welsh Revenge. That's from World of Dub.
D-A-I.
Yeah. That's
great.
Is that a Welsh name?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I had to Google it. And I Googled, because it says Welsh, so I Googled it and tried to translate it, and it was like, there's no word in Welsh.
Yeah, you need to do a Welsh version of this podcast.
Welsh language, Dream Factory, for World of Dub.
Work on that, please.
Yeah?
I mean, we've already got a limited audience as it is.
Maybe that's our problem. Maybe
we're not Welsh enough.
Maybe our niche is the Welsh market.
Mm.
And Jason.
Yeah, I've got no Welsh in me, just to put that out there.
Good.
Which kind of brings you back to the whole Mary Poppins thing, because we kind of glossed over that a little bit, didn't we?
Have you listened to this podcast? We mostly glossed over
it. I just feel really bad for the people that send them in, and then you just don't talk about them. Right? It's like,
when they've got good ideas, we do.
Oh, Joe, that's not true.
No, we don't talk about them when they've got good ideas.
So multiple weeks, I'll listen back and go, we said a really funny pun, and then Joel says some sort of anecdote about Kent. Then we moved on.
That's what the podcast is.
Welcome to the Dream Factory. Each week you send in your film suggestions and I talk about my childhood in Kent.
Let's do Die Hard in Kent. There's got to be a way that we can work that in.
Yeah? What's the biggest high rise in Kent?
It's got to be my last castle.
Yeah?
Literally. It's the tallest...
I don't want any context to that. Jason's other half
owns
a
castle. Yeah. I thought John was the posh one here.
All right. So at this point in the episode, we have a new feature from Scroobius Pip, a man who we all just saw and Joel didn't bring up his beef with. This is this week's Pippa de Pips. Pippa de Pips. This one is Aquamanuel.
The reason I didn't bring up my beef was because Pip in the past had pretended to like this podcast. And if he likes it so much, he'd have heard the beef.
Yeah.
I'm continuing the beef this week.
I saw him.
I nearly hit him when I saw him earlier on. I really nearly. John had to hold me back. Pip didn't know what was going on. I was furious. I ripped my shirt off.
He took Jason to one side and he said some words and then pointed at you.
Yeah.
And then he kind of walked off.
I said, come and say that here. Come and say that to me here. And then he just nipped out the window.
How do you feel about the allegation? You're on a podcast that has previously alleged that Scroobius Pip has a fake beard and runs a cockfighting ring.
I think, as much as I like Pip, I think there is some shady stuff there. I've just seen the man's mouth quite literally on the table.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's actually true. Strange.
You can't trust him, that's what I'm saying.
So anyway, Aquamanuel is his film this week.
It's the Fawlty Towers assistant living underwater.
Becomes...
Global warming's reached the point where Torquay's been flooded. A Manuel's sprouted gills and continues to operate his hotel underwater.
Ah. The thing is, Jason, have you seen Aquaman?
No, not yet.
Okay, it's good and it's quite mad. There's like an octopus, a massive octopus playing the drums before he goes hitchhiking. And so I could totally imagine in this world of Atlantis and stuff, there being hotels run by hapless people. Yeah. So Aquamanuel is totally possible in this world. There's 12 episodes of Fawlty Towers, isn't there? There's two seasons.
Yeah, really short run. I think there's a 13th that kind of is a little bit of a ghost episode. I think the myth is.
And all I know is about the one where, like, you know don't talk about the war. The Great War of Atlantis.
Nice. Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he does a funny walk and everyone.
Yeah, what fish is closely resembled to Hitler?
Oh, here we... Where's Susie Gage when you need her?
Yeah, I'm not sure she could field that one. I mean, what is
a catfish? Dogfish?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the Tash vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we've hit Godwin's law, haven't we? Of like, no matter how much you speak, eventually you come back to Nazis.
Mm.
And we've just done Nazi fish.
Goblin's law?
Godwin's.
Goblin's law.
Sounds like something from Lord of the Rings, doesn't it?
Goblin's law.
I much prefer that.
If you Google Goblin's Law, it actually corrects to, it said, did you mean Goblin's Law? So you're not the only idiot on the internet, John.
I thought it was going to be some sort of World of Warcraft thing.
Hey, John, do you want to hear my idea for a film?
Yes, please.
Dude, where's my scar? It's Lion King reimagined as an American stoner comedy.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Plains of Africa.
Timon and Pumbaa are already primed, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're big time stoners.
I think so.
I want to go a different route with this, though. I want to be about madness, you know, the Suggs. Scar is in the music.
Oh, nice.
I think we can go there.
Yeah? So it's the Lion King, but re-soundtracked by the music of...
Oh, my God, how's that not happened? How's Lloyd Webber not got on to redrafting Lion King, but with the soundtrack of madness?
I don't know, Jason.
I imagine he just hasn't thought of it yet. He's a busy guy.
I would also imagine he hasn't done that because isn't Elton John the guy who wrote the Lion King soundtrack?
Are you going to pick out Suggs and Elton John, though?
Oh, wow.
Good point.
What are we doing?
It's got to be, isn't it?
What, Suggs over Elton?
Yeah.
Ooh,
you didn't even sound convinced in your answer then. John, what's your film idea?
The Rock, Doc and Two Smoking Farrells. Guy Ritchie directs Dwayne Johnson as he goes back in time with Dr. Emmett Brown to show the effects of smoking on Colin Farrell's lungs. And I've put way too much work in
this. Imagine trying to fit The Rock in the DeLorean. They got absolutely no chance.
Yeah? Mm. Is he dressed in Marty McFly style clothes?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's got the hoverboard. Would he have a hoverboard?
I don't think you're going to get Rock on a hoverboard.
No. Maybe one for each foot.
Oh, yeah. Hover skis.
Yes, they're skis.
I've just described skis. Yeah, I quite like that. John, I think you've done well there, mate. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really worked hard on
that. I don't even know if Colin Farrell smokes, for the record. Jason will have to come in next week and fact check us on that.
Couple of things, lads. Colin Farrell gave up smoking in 2003. Yeah.
Jason, have you got some?
Not only have I got some, but it's a tiny bit of a backstory. I know that we've been gabbling on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've had a file in my phone for about 5 months, and I now can't remember which ones have been done and which ones have kind of cerebrally seeped in.
So you want a rapid fire round?
Yeah.
You're going quick fire.
Right. So Gangs of New York Take Manhattan.
No, we haven't done that.
No, good.
All right, this one's a bit tenuous. Planes, Trains and a Poseidon Adventure. So basically, it's like a whimsical comedy, but it ends in a complete disaster.
Nice, I like
that's
that.
Very,
that's
very you, Jason.
Caddyshank.
Whoa.
Perfect, great.
All right, this one, it definitely sounds familiar. Moana Geddon.
I think we did that.
That does sound familiar. Willy Wonka off with your pipe.
Yeah, that's going. Willy Wonka and a Football Factory.
I think we have done that.
That does ring a bell.
It's so... The problem is we don't know. But we leave the room and
we forget.
You
know the show better than I do.
That's the thing. I'm going to have to go back and not reference these. All right, this one again is it's a bit tenuous. Jefferson Starship Troopers. Can you remember in World War II you had like the entertainment arm of the forces called ENSA?
Yes. So
for Starship Troopers and their whole spacey escapade... Mm-hmm. This film focuses on in the entertainment side of things.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. I'm into that.
All right. Sin, Pig in the City.
Good.
Sin, Pig in the City.
So Sin City and Babe Pig in the City.
Yeah. I can imagine that as well. It's kind of like...
What about Babe Sex in the City?
Here we go. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That would work.
Sin, Pig in the City is like the Peter Porker character from Into the Spider-Verse inside the noir universe from Into the Spider-Verse, isn't it?
Whoa.
Yeah, ignore that.
That's deep.
No, it's boring.
Jeez. All right, and I'm going to go back in with Million Dollar Muppet Baby.
Nice. Good.
As in Million Dollar Baby, the Clint Eastwood film, and then Muppet Babies.
Million Dollar Baby is about a boxer, right?
Female boxer.
No, it's about a baby that becomes a millionaire.
I think we've done that. Early on, we did Million Dollar Baby because we got obsessed with the idea that every film with the word baby in the title is actually about a baby.
Oh, I did have another one, actually. I just remembered. I wondered why it wasn't on it. This is kind of like my big one, and I'm actually thinking of actually trying to put this into production.
Great.
So I have got film producing credits, just to get
that out
there.
That's true.
So this one is on slightly kind of dodgy ground as well, but Raining Man. So you've got Dustin Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Gets put in a futuristic game show and he has to navigate his way through the treacherous perils of a deft game show.
Perfect.
Mm, go for that, yeah. So that was I think that was my favourite, Raining Man.
I'm into it.
We used to do a thing where at the end of the episode we'd pick a favourite, but we haven't done that for weeks.
Raining Man's the favourite.
Yeah, or Gangs of New York, Take Manhattan, but basically one of mine, please.
Yeah, one of yours. Anyway, we've reached the end of the show, John and Jason, which is a sad state, a sad place to reach, but we know it's the end of the show because there is a knock at the studio door. And entering the studio, John, who is it? You can see them over my shoulder.
It's Scroobius Pippin, and he's come to have that fucking word.
What? Oh, what's it you said the other day? I actually made notes, right, as a bit of a kind of fact check, right?
Oh, so here we go, finally.
I've done the creek. Right, so the creeks we've done. Dreamland. Mm-hmm. It's not actually the oldest roller coaster. It's the oldest Big Dipper. And there's a difference. Roller coaster has to be like, whereas a Big Dipper is just like a.
So it's, oh yeah, I see what you mean. So
Jason,
sorry, everyone. We did actually receive letters and letters about that.
Jason, for the record, because at the beginning of that you said I've already done the creeks. For the people listening, can you explain what you mean by that?
So creeks. I can't remember what episode you did it on. I think it must have been like. I think it was in the summer, and I was actually walking one, as you said. Dawson's Creek, they got to be an American thing. That was, I think, your exact words, Joel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, creeks do exist here because I have two that I'm actually walking as we speak.
Jason, would you
like... What did it look like?
That's the thing. They smell of poo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're just kind of... Yeah, they're reeky creaky.
Would you like to join the podcast as our dictionary corner?
Oh, can I? Can I do that? That'd be amazing.
Basically, your fact-checking is that I've made some quite sweeping statements about Kent, and you also being from Kent have come in to pull me up on them.
And my other half being in tourism and heritage, I think it kind of makes me more pedantic as well.
Did you find out any more about Dreamland?
What was it? There was something else. The Looping Star, I think you are actually right. I think there might have actually been a death on that, just to bring the mood nice and up.
Hey, I was right!
So that one you got right.
Potentially.
Yeah, I come from a realm of having to be heavily referenced, so I apologise in advance for putting in caveats.
I feel like this whole podcast should be caveated with don't believe anything either of us say, mostly.
We should release a second episode every week, which is correcting the episode that's just gone out.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media, then you'll be the best listener.